And welcome to a special and slightly different episode of Girls in Pole Position on URN. Today, I'm your host Gemma with Jasmine and Amrit to fill the Formula One off-season to talk a bit about Formula E. So first, I thought we'd break down and talk about all of the teams and drivers to see who makes up the Formula E grid before delving into a few of them in a bit more depth. So there are 11 teams that are with me here. Andretti, Dragon, Mercedes EQ, Jaguar, Fiesta Cheetah, Envision, Rocket Venturi, Porsche, Mahindra, Nissan E-Dams, and Neo 333. Wow, there's a lot. Instead of going through all 22 of these drivers, which would take us a lot more than our time limit, I thought instead we'd just focus on some of the biggest and most prominent names on the grid, most of which are familiar faces which have transferred over from Formula One. So the newest driver to transfer over from the Formula One grid to electric cars is Antonio Giovinazzi, which I'm sure every Formula One fan has heard of. After losing his seat at Alfa Romeo in Formula One, he now races for the Dragon team in Formula E. However, based on the first two races, his performances haven't been that impressive, based on the first three races even, because we had the Mexico E-Prix that just passed a few days ago. So yeah, his performances really haven't been that impressive, and it's really hard to tell this early on. But Amrit, do you think that he just needs some time to adjust and he will improve? Or do you think he's just never going to see major success in Formula E?
I think he definitely just needs time to adjust to improve, because obviously he's just come from Formula One, and to go to Formula E is a big jump. Like, it is very different style of cars. Like, it's a lot for one person to jump into, let alone if you're having been trained in Formula One, which is a completely different style. And I think looking at the Formula One success, like Tsunoda and Ricciardo in F1, they like adjusted better throughout the season. So I think his success shouldn't be ruled out yet.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think Formula E, as we'll go on to later on in the episode, there's so many differences to Formula One, even just in terms of there's different like things that happen in it, different qualifying methods, different engine obviously is the main one, different power units. So yeah, I think definitely he does just need a bit more time. Jasmine, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's too early on to say whether or not he's gonna succeed or fail. It definitely does take time to adjust. Even in Formula One, when drivers switch teams, it takes them a while to adjust to the new car. So it must be a huge adjustment changing to this car for Formula E. So hopefully we can expect bigger things from him as the season progresses.
Yeah, I really hope so, because obviously in Formula One, he was never too near the front. I mean, I think he got a few points finishes, but never really more than a P8 or a P9. So I really would love to see him battling it out at the front in Formula E. So I guess we'll have to see. It's very hard to judge after only three races. So there's some other familiar faces who have had previous experience in Formula One who are now racing in Formula E. And these include Pascal Wehrlein, Jon-Erik Vern, and Stoffel Vandoorne, who is the most recent one who have left Formula One and move over to Formula E, except for Antonio Giovinazzi. And you might remember his brief stint at McLaren in 2018, where he didn't have too much luck against Fernando Alonso. He wasn't very great in Formula One. He had an awful time, bless him. He was also in an awful car and against a double world champion, so I don't think he had much chance. But he has actually come close to winning the Formula E championship in his Mercedes EQ car. Whilst Jon-Erik Vern, I mentioned before, he's won two Formula E championships. He won in 2017 to 2018 and 2018 to 2019. And 2015 to 2016 Formula E champion Sebastian Buemi also had a brief stint in Formula One in 2009 to 2011. So this proves that there are some drivers who are in Formula E currently who did transfer over from Formula One who are seeing quite a bit of success. So this does hint that there might still be hope for Giovinazzi yet, so we can keep our fingers crossed. And there are also some drivers who have moved over from Formula 2 to Formula E after failing to find a seat in Formula 1, and the most prominent of these, the one that I talk about all the time, is Nyck de Vries, who actually won the Formula E championship last year with the Mercedes EQ team. And Nick's success in Formula E has been phenomenal, but it does seem a shame that he hasn't had a chance to shine in Formula 1 yet, having won both Formula 2 and Formula E. I feel like there's not much more he can do to prove himself. Jasmine, do you think there's anything he can do to prove himself, or has he missed his chance now and will Formula One just not happen for him?
Well, it's hard to say, but I do feel like it is likely he's missed his chance now, because as things progress, like, other drivers are just gonna be progressing into Formula One, and yeah, I don't really think like, I think his chance has passed. Unfortunately, he's just going to be sort of stuck in this like awkward place now.
Yeah, well, Amrit, what do you think? Because I'm inclined to agree with Jasmine, I think.
Yeah, I do think he is in an awkward place, and I feel like he does still have a chance because he is young, and I guess that there is integration between the different formulas, and obviously people move from formula to formula. But yeah, I mean, I hope he has a future to prove himself in the sport, but I guess it's the whole thing of money talks at the end of the day, like depending on which drivers get in, let's be honest.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And I mean, I guess his ties with Mercedes might help, but despite Mercedes' dominance in Formula E, with them having major success over the past few years, particularly when they won the championship last year, this will actually be their last year in Formula E, and they've announced they're going to be leaving the sport at the end of 2022 to focus more on Formula One and their road-based electric cars. Do you think this is surprising, Amrit, seeing as they've just won the championship and they won the opening race of the 2022 season? It seems a bit odd that, seeing as electric cars are always spoken about as if they are the future, it seems like a very strange decision for them to then leave Formula E.
I did find it very, very odd when I heard about it, but I guess because Formula E is quite new as it is, there's still time for them to make a comeback in the future. And I feel like their priorities at the time are what they're focusing on, like currently. I guess they're not looking too much into the future with this decision, because obviously with the Formula One drama that happened last year, I'm guessing they want to put all their energy into Formula One to secure the driver and world championship there. So I think that's what obviously their logic is, and that's what they've said. But I do think that the door hopefully is open for them to make a comeback in Formula E, because it is the new up and coming thing, and it makes no sense for like the biggest constructor not to be involved in it.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think, you know, maybe in the future they will consider coming back, but I definitely think for now, at the moment, Formula One does bring in more revenue, it brings in more fans, it brings in more attention, it's more sponsors, you know. It's obviously going to be their focus at this point in time, because it is the biggest racing series at the moment. So yeah, I definitely think that makes sense. And I know they're very focused on their road cars as well. So I mean, I guess I can't, like, they can't put all of their eggs in too many baskets. Like, they can't be focused on too many things. They need to probably narrow their focus and make sure they're putting their all into maybe just like one or two things rather than trying to do too much. Jasmine, what do you think? Do you think they'll ever be back in Formula E in the future?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, because Formula E is quite a new thing, there's probably more money in Formula One. So that's kind of why they want to put their focus there. And well, obviously they won the Constructors' Championship last year, but I guess they want to kind of make sure they win the drivers as well. So I feel like they're focusing on Formula One now. And then maybe in a few years' time, if Formula E becomes bigger and if more money like is involved, they might then think, okay, actually now's time for us to partake in it.
You're definitely right that there's more money in Formula One. There's more money in Formula One than any other motorsport series. So I guess it completely makes sense, especially as you said, when they missed out on the Drivers' Championship last year, they're going to want to come back fighting with that. So they probably think they'd just rather put all their focus on that as well. I mean, I guess the big question is, what will happen to Nyck de Vries once Mercedes are not in Formula E anymore? Do you think he will get offered a seat in Formula One? Do you think he will move to a different Formula E team? It's really hard to predict. Do either of you have any thoughts on that?
I think it's probably more likely that he'll move to a different Formula E team rather than Formula One, just because, well, I don't know. I just feel like there's not going to be that many spaces opening up at the end of this year, so quite a few new drivers. And yeah, I just feel like it's more, I mean, I suppose Mercedes could hold on to him and be like, oh, when we're ready for a new driver, we'll bring you up. But since they just signed on to George, they're going to be like, oh no, we're not ready yet. So yeah,
George Russell might be in the way of it for him, yeah. I think. So another more recent familiar face from Formula 2 to step up to Formula E is Dan Ticktum, who is a driver who's surrounded by a lot of controversy. I'm not sure how familiar you are with him, but he was recently dropped from the Williams Driver Academy, and he's had a lot of controversial behaviour on Twitch, mainly calling Latifi a poo in one of his streams, I think. Yeah, and calling Rosberg a cheat. He's not made it easy for himself, basically. And it seems that, you know, with this behaviour about Williams' backing, he's never going to make it to Formula One, despite actually being quite a good driver. So similar to Giovinazzi, he has been towards the back in the Formula E grid so far. He's he's always come across quite immature. I know a lot of his comments have rubbed a lot of motorsport fans the wrong way in the past year. He recently said that Formula E is too squeaky clean for him, which I think is a bit of an interesting comment. Amrit, do you think we should give him a chance in Formula E, or do you think he's never going to change? I mean, he's 22, he's very young, but what do you think?
I think because he is quite young, I think hopefully he changes in the future. But right now, I don't blame the teams for not giving him chances with the way he's acting. So, I mean, hopefully if he changes in the future, he can maybe redeem himself, because obviously we've seen other drivers who have a lot of controversy around them still be involved in motorsports. So I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a chance in the future, but I wouldn't say I'd be happy about it if he keeps acting the way he is.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, with his behaviour, it's obviously not on the level of Nikita Mazepin's. Mazepin's was a whole different ballpark, but with Antietam, it's more just childish, immature, disrespectful behaviour to the other drivers and things like that and the rest of the motorsport world, whereas obviously Mazepin's was a whole different situation that we don't have time to get into today. But Jasmine, what do you think to Dan Ticton's recent behaviour?
I don't know, it's hard to say, because I guess it comes down to the thing of like separating the talent from the person. So I feel like if he's quite talented, then maybe he does deserve a chance to kind of prove himself in Formula E. But at the same time, you can't really look past his behaviour, and obviously he does need to be held accountable for it. So I don't know, I feel like it's quite a tricky one, but maybe he could face some kind of like sanctions for it, but still being able to compete. But yeah, I don't know if that would really work.
Yeah, it's a really difficult one, because it's hard to know what to do. I mean, he came fourth in the Formula 2 championship last year. So like, he's good, but I think at the end of the day, there are so many good drivers about at the moment. It's not like teams are struggling to find them. That's not the case at all. It's more there are too many brilliant drivers and there's not enough seats to put them in. So I think when there's so many out there who aren't controversial and therefore will get more sponsors and get more attention from the media, positive attention from the media, I should say, because Dan Ticton does get his fair share of attention, but not positive. So yeah, I mean, there's too many to choose from to go for a controversial one, I think, based on how it's going to make your team look in terms of the media. I mean, Haas have learned that quite well, I'd say, over the past year. So now we've covered most of the drivers that we might be familiar with from different series, I wanted to move on to the tracks. So Formula E races at street circuits across the world rather than traditional race circuits. This means that the tracks are very narrow for the most part, which leads to some very risky and close overtakes. And the cars are a lot more robust than Formula One cars, which means the cars can actually touch and overtake without damaging the cars. So it leads to very, very close racing. Amrit, do you think this has the potential to make the racing more exciting than in Formula One?
I think it definitely has the potential to make the racing more exciting, because I mean, I'm not big into Formula E myself yet, but when I have watched it, I do find myself a bit more on edge because of the tightness of the racing. But I do think that safety obviously does need to be taken into account, because some of the corners and everything, I just think they're so narrow. This is a recipe for disaster. And it just feels like there's so many cars on the track as well. I don't know why, but I feel like that's just because of the narrow nature of the circuit. But yeah, make it more exciting and more gripping to watch, which is why I can see Formula E becoming very popular amongst more motorsport fans as it develops. But yeah, obviously safety needs to be taken into account, but like that's like all other aspects of motorsport as well.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you that it seems like there's a lot of drivers on track. I think for some reason having that 22 drivers instead of 20 really does seem to make a difference. I also don't know if it's because all of the teams like are closer to each other. There's not really a team that dominate every weekend. So I don't know if just the closer racing makes the track seem busy, but I definitely agree with you on that. And speaking of exciting racing, I wanted to move on to a relatively new aspect of Formula E. And my favorite aspect of it, I will say, is the qualifying method. It's completely different to Formula One. I thought I'd just give a brief explanation of it because it's very new and people might not be familiar with it and it can be quite confusing. So the 22 drivers are split into two groups of 11, and then the fastest four from each of those two groups then go through to the quarterfinals. And then the final eight, they will then go head to head in a series of one-to-one battles, which are called duels, with the fastest four progressing to the semi-final and then the fastest two to the final to determine who's on pole position. At first, this method seems extremely confusing, but having actually watched it, I thought it was a very effective method. It reduced traffic on the track. It was so entertaining to watch. Honestly, I said this before, but I actually think it's my favorite part of the weekend, like over the race. I think the qualifying is just the highlight for me. What do you think to this method? Do you think it sounds like a good idea? Do you ever see Formula One adapting to it, Jasmine? I've seen a lot of people saying that they'd prefer to see this in Formula One than the sprint qualifying format. What do you think?
I think it would be really cool to see Formula One try that method, because I think it would make it a lot more exciting. And I think it would make qualifying like more effective, because it wouldn't be loads of cars like racing around the track getting in each other's way. It kind of, and having like the battles at each stage, I feel like that kind of makes qualifying itself a big event, and I feel like it's probably more effective than the sprint racing that they've tried out last year. Even though the sprint racing was fun, this could be even more exciting.
I definitely agree with you. Like, yeah, as I said, having seen it three times now in Formula E, I love it. I think it's brilliant. And yeah, I'd love to see Formula One implement something similar. Amrit, what do you think to the method?
Yeah, I would like to see Formula One try it. But I think because Formula One obviously has the more like traditional formatting, I don't know how like fans would receive it. But I, for one, would love to see Formula One try it, because it does seem like a good method and just add something new to the sport.
Yeah, I mean, when it was first announced for Formula E, I saw a lot of people being very unsure about it, confused by it, you know, not really huge fans. But I feel like as soon as people have seen it in action, people have really warmed to it. So, I mean, yeah, I think at first, if it was to be introduced to Formula One, people would be a bit unsure. But I think once they actually saw it, they'd love it. I think with sprint qualifying as well, people aren't sure on that, even though they've seen it happen multiple times now. I don't personally think it brings a whole lot to the race weekend. I mean, it's nice to have something else to watch, but I don't think it really changes anything that much. So yeah, I'd love to see them implement this. I'd love to just see them experiment with trying different things, or maybe changing the sprint qualifying format a little bit. So finally, I wanted to move on to some of the more confusing and unique aspects of Formula E. So it involves so many strange terms and unfamiliar phrases. I just thought we'd quickly break them down. So the first one is attack mode, which the driver can activate by going through a certain part of the track, and it boosts the power to the engine for 3 minutes. Alternatively, drivers can actually receive a brief 5-second boost from the fan boost, which allows fans to vote for their favorite driver throughout the week leading up to the race. And then I think it's the top 5 drivers who get voted, or top 3, should have checked that, but the ones who get the most votes actually get that 5-second boost. Jasmine, do you think this is a good way to get fans involved in the sport, or is it unfair because some drivers do naturally have more fans than others?
I don't know, it's hard to say. Like, it definitely, I suppose, from a fan perspective, makes it more fun, because you're like, oh, I can help my favorite driver win, or help them like improve their performance. But at the same time, like, it's not really a reflection of the driver's like ability or their actual talent. It's more a reflection of how popular they can be or how much they can appeal to the fans, because I feel like in general, like, some drivers who might be really talented, but they're not necessarily gonna try and appeal to the fans. They just want to focus on their sport. They're not, it's going to be more unfair for them. But then, I don't know, I guess maybe the whole concept is like life is unfair, and it kind of makes it more entertaining for us to watch, I suppose. But I feel like it's a good thing to try out, and just to kind of see, make sure that it's not like the same 3 or 5 drivers every week getting the boost.
I have checked, it is 5. I was right the first time and started to doubt myself. I was right. But yes, no, I completely agree with what you're saying. Like, it does tend to vary quite a bit. Dan Tickton came really close to getting it last race. Even the commentators were like, what's going on? But yeah, I think Giovinazzi's got it once. It does vary quite a bit. So I do feel like it's not the same 5 getting it every week, which is quite good. I think a lot of the Formula E drivers are quite well liked by fans, so I do think, you know, it kind of depends like which ones people fancy voting for that week. So yeah, I mean, it does vary a bit, but it does have the capacity to be unfair. But I think it's so cool that the fans can actually have a say in things, because this 5-second boost can allow people to overtake. Like, it gives enough power for you to overtake the car in front of you, so it can actually have an impact on the race result. Amrit, what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I think it's a good method to get fans involved in an interactive way, because it makes the sport seem more accessible for a fan to watch. Like, it doesn't feel like you're completely excluded from it, if that makes any sense. But yeah, I think it is a good method, but obviously needs to be monitored so that there's not a lot of bias that's like affecting the scores massively or anything. But yeah, like it does make it more exciting, as Jasmine said. So I agree with it being trialed. Yeah,
yeah. I think it has the capacity to be really fun. I think it definitely could, you know, make things a lot more exciting in motorsports. So I'm glad that Formula E do give it a chance and do let fans vote like that, because yeah, I do think, you know, in Formula One, I don't think it would work so well, because I think, you know, like Lando would be getting all the votes, like, I don't think it would be fair in Formula One, but I think in Formula E it does work. But I don't think that is something that should be implemented in Formula One. Jasmine, what are your thoughts on whether it should be brought to Formula One?
I feel like if it was brought to Formula One, then Mazepin would never ever get the boost. I feel like it's quite difficult, because I suppose it's higher stakes and like it's less of a new thing, so people do have favorite drivers, and I just don't know if it would work as well. And I feel like what's his name, Christian Horner, would always be complaining if Red Bull didn't ever get a boost.
Oh, he would. He loves to complain. He loves to complain about absolutely anything he can. Apart from Massi being sacked, he seems to quite like that. I wonder why. Maybe it's because Massi's decision actually benefited him. But I think this covers the basics of Formula E in a bit of a whistle-stop tour. It's definitely a series which can much better be understood by actually watching it live, which you can do on Channel 4 Sport. The next race, it's quite a while away, but it's on the 9th of April in Rome. So thank you for listening. We've been Girls in Pole Position on URN, and we hope you enjoyed this slightly different episode from us, but we'll be back to our traditional Formula One content in the build-up to the new season. Bye for now.